Do we have someone here this morning who would open our time with voluntary prayer? Go ahead, we'll wait. There we go. Go ahead, would you? Sure. That'd be great. Let's all stand together.
Father, we thank you today for all that you give to us. We ask that you would bless our meeting today, that you would open our eyes, and that you would touch our hearts. So we thank you for the leaders that we have. We pray a blessing over them today. And as we do your business today for this county, may we make wise decisions that affect the taxpayers in a positive way. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. We say our pledges. The American flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you all. You may be seated. Let the record reflect that we are all here, with one exception, Commissioner Nowak, which I believe will be coming. Do I have a motion to approve the Commissioner's Court agenda this morning, gentlemen?
Move.
Second?
Second.
So moved. It is approved. Proclamations and resolutions. Taylor Nichols. Let the record reflect, Commissioner Nowak is with us.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. My name is Taylor Nichols. I'm the Recognition Coordinator for the Employees Committee. If I can have Amy and Mr. Griffin come forward to present July Employee of the Month, who the winner will be receiving a plaque and a gift card to Benihana's.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Good morning.
It is my extreme pleasure today to announce that Patty O'Hagan is the Employee of the Month for July.
Awesome.
As many of you know, Patty's a longtime county employee. She's been with the county attorney's office. She predates me. How long?
2006
for the county attorney, and prior to that?
2002 with the
federal. 2002, so she's been a long-time
awesome.
County employee. I'll be brief, but just a couple of things that people have in her nomination was. She's an extraordinary employee with strong work ethic, ability to adapt to changing circumstances, and an enduring patience that does not waver in the face of pressure and difficult circumstances. What makes her stand out from others is the fact that her unique personality is integrated into all of it, and everything she does and imprints on everyone she encounters. She's kind, compassionate, easygoing. I always walk away feeling good after I've interacted with Patty. And that is a recurring theme. She's always courteous and eager to assist others in our office. She's respectable to the citizens of Montgomery County that both come into the office and also on the phone. I've worked with Patty for over 5 years and have never seen her in a bad mood. She can always be trusted to help wherever and whenever needed. She often volunteers during her lunch hour to mentor elementary school children. And Montgomery County is a better place because of people like her. She always goes above and beyond when assistance is needed and is always pleasant and courteous. And kind of summing up, Patty exemplifies the type of colleague and employee that one would hope to have on their team. And we are so glad that she is on our team and on Montgomery County's team.
BD, as you know, I call your office a lot, and you're exactly right. I always feel a little better after I get through talking to Patty.
Exactly.
I think that's perfect. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you, Patty.
Good job, Patty.
Good job. Well done. All right. The presentation by the Montgomery County Veterans Memorial Commission.
Yeah.
Judge Jimmy.
They must have heard I was here.
They getting the heck out of here.
they're like running out.
Morning, Captain. How are you? Thank you.
Thanks.
Good, how are you?
Thank you.
You ready? Judge, Commissioners, glad to be back again here before you. We're going to be talking about the Montgomery County Veterans Memorial Park and Educational Center for 2 minutes. This is a briefing thing so I can bring y'all up to speed so you know what we're doing and how we're operating. The Montgomery County Veterans Memorial Park.
Judge, if you could speak into the microphone a little bit closer. Make sure everybody can.
Can everybody hear me now?
Here we go.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. The Montgomery County Veterans Memorial Commission is composed of 15 members. We have reached a full complement. If any of them are here, most of them are working. They have good, honest jobs. And so myself, the lady standing to my right is our new media director, Erica Ritchie. She hails from the Woodlands, and we got her from State Senator Brandon Creighton's office. We hadn't told the senator yet, but he'll find out. As most media directors are, most of them are all under 25 years of age. And so we're glad to have Erica on board. She's a part-time employee. Judy Chance DuRoy is our chief financial officer. She's here. Shannon Novak, she's director of Veterans Affairs. Duke W. Kuhn, who is the mayor pro tem of Conroe, he is our director of community development. Rob Eisler is director of governmental relations. Raven Rivero, director of outreach and education. She's from Willis. Captain Jim Pell, Captain, I think he's here. He's from Willis, Texas. Rob is from the Woodlands. Rebecca Howard, she's a professor of history at Lone Star Community College. She's director of history and archives. She lives in the Woodlands also. Brenda Webb from New Caney, Texas. She is director of economic development. Gary Lynn Azan, she is from Magnolia. She is a director of our veterans communications. Henry Kalin from Conroe, director of security and operations. James Gaskins, director of capital improvements. George Zamora, director of construction. Michael L. Durham, attorney at law, director of legal affairs. And Sylvia Olsay, who is our promotional director, the different fire departments and emergency services across the county. Gentlemen, these are pictures of the present-day park. Everybody's familiar where it is, right here beside the tax office. We intend to be moving some of these plaques and begin to the breakdown of this park. As you notice, you can't read them. I've had people that have relatives or heirs, I'm not heirs, descendants of these men from World War I. And they go there, and they can't meet them. So we're going to pull them up. We're going to completely redo them. And either we're going to hang them in the present Montgomery County Library, Central Library, or we're going to return them there to their spot until we're ready to really move the park. This park will be duplicated in the new memorial. This is the property that we have. It is... So we'll go over the review. It is 7.624 acres. It sits on the corner of Highway 105 West and I-45. It belongs, half of it, excuse me, so I can break it down right for you. The city of Conroe owns 3.545 acres. And the state of Texas owns the balance. They own predominantly all of that except to the top right. So the county did not have to purchase this memorial site. There's not $1 there. We were able to work an agreement between the state of Texas, TxDOT, and the city of Conroe for a Montgomery County Veterans Memorial Park. And
So with a lot of work, a lot of effort, and I will say this much, TxDOT. They have an MUA with the city of Conroe, and we worked that with them, and TxDOT bent over backwards for us. They had never seen a proposal like this, to take a park, a Veterans Memorial Park, and put it on the state right-of-way and state on ground. It was like, where's the block and where's the check? And if they don't have that, you got a real way to go.
Right.
But they were very helpful. We even ended up in front of the Federal Department of Transportation because they have jurisdiction here. So we went to Austin several times. But they, everybody from the state director down was very, very cooperative. And Adam Gillum out here and Quincy Allen in Houston, what a great team. They really stepped forward. The visibility there is unbelievable. It is one of the busiest intersections in the state, in the county. It is gateway to Conroe, gateway to Lake Conroe, and also the gateway to the Renaissance Festival under their new routing system. What we have here is our new proposal and the new improvements to the park. Phase one is the monument sign, Victory Row, and the bridge. Phase two is the line, the greeting center, Reflection Park. Phase three, the memorial, wayfinding signage, in the Visitor and Educational Center. We dedicated Freedom Boulevard. That was our first step. That's a cooperative effort between Commissioner Metter, Precinct 1, and the City of Conroe to give us an east-west thoroughfare by the park. And it is being used right now. It really has helped us be able to get here. The dedication. We had a great turnout and a great crowd.
Who's that good-looking boy?
Good-looking guy. That's the mayor of Conroe, Toby Pell. Floyd Wayne Stewart, commander of VFW. Boy Scouts. We have a lot of outreach to Boy Scouts. They do a lot of work for our park. We really believe in our Boy Scout, Girl Scout program. Senator Creighton. Representative Metcalf. Dedication people lined up, a couple of board members. That's Brenda Webb there on the left. You recognize her. And so, Phase 1A, the Montgomery County Veterans Memorial Park first memorial signage. It stands 13 feet tall, 7 feet wide, and 28 inches thick. It is underwritten by the Conroe New Lions Club. We negotiated them and written with them, and they put it together and worked on our contracts. We went through everything we needed, and they underwrote it. We went out for bids, found three different sign companies, got the low bidder, and did it. The dedication of the memorial, the first memorial monument. Another good-looking guy.
Thanks, Judge.
Well, pour down rain, horrible weather. We brought in tents. We have over 250 people standing room crowd under the tent. Henry Kalin, he's a board member. Charles Burdett was also one of our speakers. He's sitting here in the room today. Burdett, Charles, and their firm has done a tremendous amount of work with us. They have meeting after meeting over the past year and a half, and they have done everything they can for us. They've really helped. And Charles, you're here. You are, aren't you? Charles Burdett. Y'all, I'm sure, have worked with him before. And his whole entire staff, plus they reduced their rates so drastically so we could go to work. Bobby Bannon, Preston, Conroe, New Lions Club. Listen, this. Representative Kevin Brady's assistant, Judy DeRoy, Chief Financial Officer, she emceed, Mayor Duke Coon Conroe, Will Metcalf, the unveiling. We were assisted by veterans groups from all across the county. A group of the Noon Lions Club. We now move to the next stages. We haven't started this work. This is Victory Row and South Bridge. The South Bridge is a project the City of Conroe has been working with Burdett. The bid packages are together, and they lie with the city. City's going to underwrite this. And we've got to have a bridge. Right now, if you want in this park, you've got to walk out the feeder road. It's a typical military operation. We do it off back. But so we're going to build South Bridge. Hopefully, we have it. We're aiming for Veterans Day of this year to have the South Bridge built and Victory Row and have a big dedication. Victory Row, gentlemen, are 13 flags. Excuse me. These 13 flags are the American flag, which is 60 feet tall, Texas, Navy, Marine Corps, Army, Air Force, Coast Guard, Merchant Marines, POW, the City of Conroe, Montgomery County flag, Montgomery County Veterans Memorial Commission, and a remembrance flag. About four of these are already underwritten for calls from private sector and from people who want to do it. There will be a plaque at the bottom of each flag, and they will be remembered. There are only 13, so there will be there. Their names, the plaque stands, I think, about 18 by 24 and stands on a 3.5-foot stand. And we hope to have those ready. Also, they're being made right now in Michigan, and they'll be down here. It takes about 90 days to get these poles down here. And we're having the flags designed and built. Now there are two flags. And they will line the east side of the park. Okay.
What is the cost of underwriting those flags? Say an individual wanted to get involved, what would be the cost?
$13,497.45 each. And that gets your name on the deal. And it'll stay there. And I'm not talking one of these old cheap aluminum things you see on side of the road.
Spun steel.
I'm talking about solid brass. Pretty brass.
Awesome.
And you can put your names on it. I think we give out room for about 250 letters. So you can pretty well put on there you want. Phase two is the line. After we get Victory Row up, South Bridge built, the line is where the names go. Any veteran from the United States of America, you don't have to be from just Montgomery County. This is a nationwide effort. We're crossing the country about this. And y'all have a packet up there. You see the application. It's $185. Put your name on the wall. And I call it the line. A lot of people keep calling it the wall, but it's the line. And like hold the line. And it's in the east side of the park beside Victory Row. And as we fill it up, we have a new way to do it. You have the line, and then there are panels. So everybody contribute, or you get your name on it, you get the applications, we make sure you're there. There ain't going to be any Daffy Ducks up there. And so then they will be made in Houston and brought up here and put up. We don't sandblast into it. And we don't have to engrave it by hand or anything. And then we put them up, and we'll dedicate each year on Veterans Day, 300 or 500 or 1,000. The greeting center will lie between the flag park and I-45, about where we dedicated it, where the tent was. It is a place where you can come. There'll be restrooms, a rest area, and a walking area, about 2,300 square feet. The flag park people are excited about it. They've always wanted to have something there, too, for their visitors. It will enhance the flag park. Now, I don't want anybody to run and jump out the window here. So this is down the line. This is just simply a phase. This is the memorial itself. It will stand on the deep south side. It's just long range. Depends upon the money and funding and finances. I can't say. I could say 5 years. I could say four. I could say six. It just depends. Hmm.
Wow.
Next, at the long-range plans, which probably be 8 or 10, would be the last structure. It's an educational center. This would be a coordinating position center for everybody to meet, for all your veterans groups, small group, large group, a central gathering spot. It also will be archival in nature. We are already receiving gifts from people that want their granddaddy has died. They don't want to do with his uniform. They don't want to throw it out. And so they're trying to bring it to us. The educational center. Well, what did TxDOT get a load of us with that? it's ambitious. You know, I had a guy walk up to me and say, Jimmy, you lost more than both legs of Vietnam. You lost your head. And I said, well, we'll find out. Yeah. We're having inquiries from all over. That is basically what we're up to. I want to keep y'all posted and what we're doing. And that's all you can sit down for a minute. Thank you. I do want to touch on one subject. I guess I'm responding to the recent articles in the paper and the situation with one of the nonprofit organizations in this county. I just want to say this, that I have 15 members on the board. I got a chief financial officer. I have an executive board, and everything is watched to the penny. We are fiduciary, responsible parties, not just for tax dollars and not just for city tax dollars, but everybody. Everybody. We've had $5 gifts, 50 cent gifts, and we're responsible for them just as well as we are for taxpayers. I've crisscrossed this county for almost 2 years, communities, organizations, groups, and I have asked them, told them, that we use tax dollars. The Commissioners Court and the City of Conroe and other communities may well join have not had one person say you shouldn't use tax dollars to build a memorial that honors veterans, their sacrifice, and first responders and their families and their sacrifice. No one's ever said a word about it. I've even got rounds of applause. But I will say another round of applause I get is when I tell them the old park's beside the tax office, and then I say that's where you can't park. And they all holler and laugh because they can't park. I learned to read in that building. That's how old that building is. As a kid, it's the only air-conditioned building in Conroe. The library and the front theater. Nobody else had air conditioning. And we all, the kids in summer, just sit in the library, and they give us books to make us read. Because you couldn't sit there. You remember Miss Ard, Mike? Okay. Miss Ard made us read. And that's how we learned to read. Sitting there. Huh? And I was a Hardy Boys fan. Loved Hardy Boys. We have bylaws, procedural manuals, rules of procedure for disbursement of funds, conflict of interest procedures, and all this has been adopted by 15 members of the board. All disbursements are reviewed by executive committee and the full board. We do accept designated funds, and that is strictly enforced. If you want a flag, that goes to the flag. As Conroe Noon Lions Club, they know exactly how we handle it. No members are kin to each other. No members are paid. There are no relations on any of these 15 members. They come across the county. They don't know each other when they walk in the door, but they're getting to it. Any relations by a member must be revealed, including fellow members and vendors. The Montgomery County Veterans Memorial files its $9.90 annually. Understand, we're not that old. We're not quite 3 years old. When we first filed our first report for 17 and half of 18, we had less than 170 items. That's all we had. But we paid the ticket to that outside audit firm. We have a CPA comes in before it goes to audit. Now, it's been through the board. It's been through everything looking over. Then he sits down with our chief financial officer, and they go over everything looking for any issue or problem. When that's done, it's bundled up and shipped to our CPA firm. They then have it, and then they issue a report. And any given time, anybody wants to review that report, we're on the fifth floor of the court, of City Hall, room 560. We have a small office. It's all used furniture and donated furniture. Y'all can come look at it. We're not in some garage. We're not meeting somebody's backyard. We have a visible status. Our rent's $500 a month. And so we keep it as low as we can. We have,
Judge.
Oh, on bids, we also have three, we go out for bids on everything. There's a lot more detail to what we do. I'm not going to take up the course time on it, but I just want to respond to that and want that we do our best. We are a fiduciary conscious of the monies and dollars that we have. And you're not going to get, I've got CPAs, I got attorneys, I got people, bankers, et cetera. Don't think that they're not going over everything. Yeah. Every board meeting.
It's a great cause. We would all agree. We applaud you. We applaud you for your efforts to do all of this as a nonprofit. I mean, that is remarkable. Wouldn't you agree, guys? It's just amazing. And all the people here I know appreciate it and appreciate your service.
Thank you very much.
So yeah, thank you for coming and sharing this.
If you were
with us
trying
today.
To build this, you know, you'd have to go to a bond issue or see it.
Yeah, I've come a really
sure.
long way.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah. In just a couple of years, I mean, it's amazing yeah. what's been done. Your board, I mean, they work hard. They're dedicated. Your passion for this absolutely shows.
Thank
and
you.
Without it, we couldn't do it. And
well, we'll be 71 in August, and so I may, you know, I may be passed along. I don't know if I'll see this thing completed, but hopefully I'll see some of it. If not, I'll resign, and I'll just be a doddering old fool down there telling war stories.
It is very ambitious, like you say, but I sure hope we can pull this off, because that yeah. would be something to have.
I can't give you a time frame. It depends upon the money. It's just what it does. We could walk in, and you have to understand the big foundations, big grand boys won't talk to us till we're 3 years old. And they're going to look you over.
Yeah.
You know.
Judge, we appreciate it so much. We do appreciate you so much. Thank you for coming. So any questions or comments anymore, guys?
James?
Proud of you, buddy.
I'm all good. How much have you raised privately?
Well, privately in the past 3 years, I think we're sitting about $200,000. $300,000 maybe, but we also spend.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't sit on it.
Great job.
We know we've got it. Y'all's funding, your $150,000, what it does is it gets us to start. Then we raise the money, we get it back to it, if we can. A lot of times you can't do that. So we're processing that way. We would not survive without the $150,000 from y'all and the $150,000 from Condo. If you'll remember, we were at $50,000 last year. We came in and asked for $150,000. You wanted to see the communities or others to get mm-hmm. in the pot. Which Connor did. Connor was already on their way there.
Good.
And they're glad he did it. So that matched up. That gives us $300,000 to rock and roll with. Then go out and raise money. Where we're sitting probably right now, we're about 3-1 on the money. 25% to 30%. And then the rest we're raising. And I'm going to bring that down through the years. We may have to go up for a while, but we'll come down eventually. With a whole entire piece of ground. Because it's a multi-million-dollar piece of ground. Y'all need to buy it.
Yeah.
What can you say? Pretty good deal, as the president would say.
Thank you, Judge. You and your board.
Thank you, Judge.
We do it. Thank you all
appreciate
very much for
so
having
much.
Me. Here. Thank you.
I think we need to give Jimmy a round of applause. What do y'all think? Thank you so much. All right. All right. Are there any changes to the minutes? Today. If there are none, do we have a motion to approve?
Move. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you very much. Now we're going to the consent agenda. Are there any modifications to our consent agenda? If there are none,
I move on consent agenda.
Okay.
I have two to move. 9D, 3D. That's Smith & Company on page 3.
Hold on just a second, James. Did you say 9D?
9D, 3D, that's Smith & Company on page 3. And I'd like to move 9K1A on page 6. 9K1A on page 6, if we could.
9D3 and 9K1. Okay.
9K1? Is that what you just said?
I think so, yes. Is that not the right one? Page 6.
It's on page 6 of 9 at the top. Is that the one?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Kind of curious why we want to move something that's been approved in April, and we've already purchased 7 parcels of land for this the way we've always done it through the process. I'm kind of curious why we want to do this. I'm anxious to hear the reason.
I don't really have anything to say about it other than just to oppose it. But if we can
all right.
vote.
We have a motion to accept the consent agenda. Are there any other modifications first? Okay, do we have a motion to accept the consent agenda with modifications?
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Let's go to our open agenda. And as we go to that, let's look at first 9D3. Page is that on, Commissioner?
Page 3. Rehabilitation of roads with Smith and Company.
And on the 9D3, which one of those is on the Smith?
D.
Just D.
Rehabilitation of roads with Smith. Okay.
Yeah. This was on the agenda last court. We deferred it, and I'm still opposed to it, so I can't leave it on consent.
Okay.
I move.
To defer it? We're moving to...
No, I move to approve the...
You move to approve the project, Rehabilitation of Roads, R.C. Smith Companies. We have
correct.
A first. We have a second.
Second.
Is there any discussion on this? All right. All those in favor?
Except
opposed?
Opposed.
Motion carries. Thank you very much.
We got 4-1?
Yes. 4-1. 9D3, and now to 9K1. Page 6.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Commissioner?
That's just,
yep. You move?
You
move. I move on it. Second.
Is there any discussion? Commissioner, did you have some discussion that you
wanted
to do?
No, I have nothing
there?
To say. I'm just opposing it.
Okay. Is there any other discussion for anyone else? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
Opposed. That's 3-2. Thank you all very much. Now let's move on in our open agenda. On this first item, if you would, please, it's for the county judge to consider, discuss, and take appropriate action on the appointment or appointments of various members. What I would like to do is move that to follow the executive session, if we could, and then let's just move on to budget and Amanda.
Judge, really quick on item B, I'm actually going to defer that item. We've done some research and found where there was actually a previous court motion, so we're going to on the salary payout, we're actually going to defer that item.
Okay.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right, item A.
Judge, this morning, Judge Commissioners, this morning we dropped off at your little chair the FY 2020 preliminary budget. I'm just going to go over a little bit of that with you guys this morning. For the FY 2020 budget, if you remember for FY 19, we adopted a budget of $344,605,268. We have done some quite large amendments to the budget for the Joe Corley facility and for the debt service, so I felt it was necessary to show you guys that with the FY19 amended debt service and Corley, that the current FY19 budget would be $363,761,096. For FY2020, we do have a preliminary budget of $366,703,812. When you compare that over the amended debt service and the additional Corley, it is a 0.8% increase, so less than a 1% increase comparable year over year. We are assuming a decrease in the tax rate, which I will go through that on the next slide. Just some quick facts about our county right now. The CPI index from the first quarter 2019 over the first quarter 2018 was 1.8%. We did in the last year, according to HGAC, saw a population increase to 590,925, a 3.5% increase over prior year. Currently, Montgomery County has a low unemployment compared to the national average. The current Montgomery County is 2.8% unemployment compared to the national average of 3.5%. We talked a little bit. I kind of already gave you guys a heads up. We are looking at a tax decrease this year. We did work with Tammy in the auditor's office to go through some preliminary values. And the adopted tax rate for FY 2019 is the 0.4667. We intend on the budget that you see in front of you today shows a preliminary tax decrease of 2.1 cents to 4457. Again, a tax decrease of 2.1 cents. The general fund, obviously, you know, this year, Tammy will go over it, but preliminary values, the appraisal district really looked at more of the personal property and residential property, not so much on the business this year. Last year, commercial really got reappraised this year a little bit differently. So Tammy will go through that next commissioner's court meeting. But we are showing a total FY 2020 preliminary tax collections of $249,738,713. Funding in this preliminary budget includes 15 positions that you guys did add during the middle of this fiscal year. So if you remember, you gave the sheriff the opportunity to use his carryover for 10 positions. So we have to fund those 10 positions right off the top. And then also the JPs received a few, and then a couple in the constables, and then one last week for Dr. Pineri. Increased the funding factors. So the medical, workers' compensation, and property casualty insurance, all of those went up. I'll go through those a little bit further in the next couple of slides. A 1.9% cost of living adjustment has been included for personnel. So we came up with a 1.9% COLA based on a few things. We looked at the CPI index for the three major categories of CPI, and that is food, energy, and all items less food and energy. The food in the last year has actually gone up. If you go to the groceries, you'll see an increase in those products you're buying by 2.2%. The energy, so electricity, gas, that index rose 2.7% over the last year. And then all items less food and energy, so we're talking healthcare costs, rental, property, mortgage, anything like that, went up approximately 1.7% cost of you know, the day-to-day expenses. You know, going, you know, to the movies or whatever it is that people do, those overall 1.7%. So that's where we came up with the 1.9. When we looked at what HGAC last year did a survey about on populations of how much that they spend their household income on. And so we broke that down and compared it, and that's where we came up with the 1.9%. We do have this year $2.6 million for the capital improvement projects. We do have some major capital improvement projects in the works, and we're really wanting to not get that fund balance down to zero, so this gives us a little bit of wiggle room in that money. The contract services for Corley is budgeted at $30 million. Kind of mentioned that earlier that we had done an amendment for the Corley facility. Currently, when you guys adopted the budget in FY19, we had a $15.8 million in for Corley. The Corley facility is on average costing, we're already year to date at $27 million. Or $24 million year to date. We didn't expect to hit $30 million. We hit $27 million last year. So we put in $30 million for the Corley facility this year. So basically what happens is previously last year's budget only included $15.8. So you have $14.2 million right off the top. That's an increase due to what we're actually expecting the Corley facility. I'll remind everybody the Corley facility is a pass-through. We get the money in from the feds. We send that money out to the GO group.
Yeah, net that's
effect,
a wash.
Net effect to the county. It just increases that overall budget number that right. you guys do right. adopt. The contract positions, they increased $3.5 million, and that's funded almost 100% from local contracts. Contract positions, those are the township contracts, the all of them, the law enforcement contracts that we have represents 19.1 million of the total budget, or 5.2% of the budget. So 5.2% of, in addition to the Corley, another 5.2% total pass-through. We get the money, we pay the employees do the service for those outside entities. For the preliminary budget, we did have over 70 position requests. We funded at this level, at the preliminary budget, two positions. The Justice of the Peace 5 juvenile case manager, that is with JP Mazden. It's a special revenue fund. So we're not using taxpayer money to do that. They will, the Justice of the Peace, they collect a fee for every fine that they do, and part of that is for the juvenile case diversion program. So that's where that, and Commissioner Metz, you may be able to explain more a little bit about that. We also did a part-time position for records management. Previously, in the records management, which also a special district, special revenue fund, we had a records management program for the auditor's office. Well, last year, Board of Judges said did away with that position, but we are seeing the need for HR going into an electronic processing documents that we believe that this is a good use of those funds. So we're planning, that's what we have right now is a records management part-time position and for Doty's team. Upgrades included in the preliminary, HR reviewed over 100 personnel modification forms. These are people that wanted salary increases, upgrades, felt like their employees were doing a good job. And so she reviewed over 100 of those. She didn't give all 100. She reviewed them. And right now there is over $350,000 in your preliminary budget of upgrades and new programs. I'm just going to go over some more highlights of the increases from fiscal year 19 to FY20. $1.6 million in contribution to capital improvements. We have another $1.6 million in employer contribution for the insurance. Like we stated before, the insurance factor was $11,039. Now we added an additional 5% to that to try and get us to closing the gap and on taking that money from the fund balance. $2.7 million in the 1.9 cost of living adjustment. That's what it cost for a 1.9% raise is $2.7 million. We have $538,264 in FICA and retirement for the COLA. So total all in about almost $3.3 million for a 1.9 COLA. $265,000 increase in workers' compensation increase, $501,000 in general liability insurance. That's after we got some quotes back from after Harvey and things like that. Those numbers are going up. The Woodlands Township, the budget for that department went up $400,000. It's not a change to the contract necessarily. What it is they allocate a specific amount of money for overtime. Previously, they haven't been coming close to using all of that overtime, but we are seeing where they are coming closer and closer and closer to using the designated overtime in that contract. And then you're seeing a $284,000 increase in retiree health insurance. So those are kind of the big things that kind of stand out from FY19 to FY20. We do have a couple of things that we have works in progress. So these are things that I may bring to you during budget workshops. We had some legislation passed regarding the judicial pay for Corning County Court at Law judges and their changes possibly to district judges. So we're working with the county attorney's office to review some documents on that. And then we also want to see if the governor has a closer idea of when he may appoint someone for that new district court. We're also working with risk management, purchasing, and the auditor's office on some retirement and employee health retirement and health insurance options. We kind of brought that to you guys whenever I brought the insurance funding factors that we were looking at possibly doing those types of things. And so that's what Gender's team is working on right now. And then also some Corley facility options. Because Corley is such a big hit to our budget, we're trying to figure out if the best way to do it is to budget like the whole $30 million or if we have some other ways. So working with the county attorney's office again on that to see if they can come up with, and the county auditor's office to see if there's any updates to that. We'll let you guys know if we change anything, but right now the preliminary budget does have $30 million in for the Corley facility. Are there any questions that you guys have for me?
How would you change the Corley?
So there have been some talks about possibly running it as an enterprise fund. We've also had some talks about, because it is, we don't know month to month, like it's not the same cost every single month for what the bill. So sometimes, you know, it might be $4 million, sometimes it might be $2 million. And so doing it as we go, amending the budget as we go, we could, that's another option that we have. You know, there's been some other talks about changing the way that the contract is instead of us, you know, being a pass-through, but.
Commissioner, I asked the county attorney's office and the auditor's office to look into options for that contract just because it does artificially increase the budget and yes, there's right. really not a, you know, we never know if sequestration or the funding's going to end and why budget for something that we, you know, month to month it can change. And in the past, for some reason, we only budgeted that for 12 or 14 million when in reality we were doing budget amendments that increased that all the way to $30 million throughout the year. So we had never really accounted for it exactly as the money came in anyway. So an enterprise fund would likely
be... Yeah, I agree. It's an artificial increase in our budget amount, but it's also an increase in the revenue side.
And
if we could do it a separate set of books, I don't know how you do it, but that would be... It would bring our budget amount down. It wouldn't really change anything, but I guess it would might look better. I don't know.
The way that contract runs right now is once we get the invoice from GEO, we don't actually pay that invoice until we do receive the money from the feds.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're the county is actually sending out money beforehand. That wire comes in about the same time that the sheriff's office does the release on the payment.
Any way you look at it, either way, they're going to wash against each other. The payout as opposed to what the income is, regardless of how we categorize it or how we come forward on it, as long as we communicate, I think, what is taking place here. But anything we can do to make some kind of adjustment, that would be helpful, I think.
Yeah. We'll wait and see what you can come up with.
We will file the budget with the county clerk's office and put it on the website for public inspection so everybody has that. We'll have a copy of it. And then, again, workshops do start at the end of July 30th and go for 4 days. For the workshops, I want to kind of see if I can get some feedback from you guys on previously we had the nonprofits come in one by one and kind of give their spill on what they, you know, what their requests are. This year we did do something a little bit different with nonprofits. We sent all of the nonprofits a questionnaire that basically required them to state, you know, their financial position, had some financial documents in it, bylaws, what they planning on using the money for, what they've used the money on prior, how many Montgomery County citizens they're helping, as all the questions that you would think to ask. We asked in about an 8 to 9 page document that these nonprofits did come. So we do have the information that most of the nonprofits would tell you. We already have it kind of in a paper form. If you guys wanted to change it up where those nonprofits don't, you know, spend 5 hours, 6 hours going through those, and we have part of our budget workshop could be working through those questionnaires, that's an option that we have if you guys would like me. We've had some of the nonprofits reach out to us to see if we wanted them to come to workshop, so I thought this would be a prime opportunity for you guys to let me know if you guys would like those nonprofits to come or if you guys just want to go through the worksheets.
Are we going to have access to the questionnaires before the workshop?
Yeah, I can definitely provide those to you guys. It's a pretty hefty stack.
If we had those, I'd just sing work off the worksheet.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I will let the nonprofits know that. You guys have any other questions for me?
Yes. What is the preliminary effective tax rate? Do you know what the preliminary effective tax rate is, and then has that compared to previous?
Yeah, can I go on my laptop? Perfect.
Where's Tammy?
43, something. Good morning. The preliminary effective is 0.4358. And, again, that is preliminary because the values, this is from 2 weeks ago.
We won't get certified values till
July 25th.
Budget workshop.
And I also have the preliminary rollback as it stands right now on the current values is 0.4583.
And we're at 4.6 now?
4.667.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Just have a statement.
Yes.
Thank you for the time that you and your staff put in this process. I heard a lot of good things from department heads and elected officials on the level of professionalism in the dealings with the departments.
Thank you.
I'm speaking as just one commissioner, but my hope was to see you bring forward a budget that would be lower than last year's budget. And I would like for you to kind of try to go back and make sure you comb through the budget and bring us something that, is as lean as possible. And without a reduction in spending, I'm not sure how supportive I'm going to be of the budget that you bring?
So right now, law enforcement makes up about 26% of the budget, along with the public facilities, another 15%. So between those two, facilities being Corley and the jail and building maintenance. But most of that is public safety. You're 40% of your, plus another 10% for debt service. So 50% of your budget is related to public safety, debt service, and the jail. 50% right off the bat. So
the rest of it's pretty much bare bones.
The rest of it really is, you have, you know, personnel, and then you have the operations that it takes. CDBG is also included in this budget number that you have. So CDBG is the only grant that we do budget at the budget process, because we do know exactly how much money we are getting in, and it follows the same fiscal year as the budget. Mm-hmm. But the budget is very lean. We have gone through operational accounts. You can't ask a department head or an elected official here if we haven't gone through their budget and saying, you know, we looked at this year, we did the zero based on training and travel. Well, the training and travel, because we zero based it, blew up. We had the biggest increase I've seen in training and travel. And so we worked through it and we said, okay, look, what's realistic? What training options and travel options are really wants and desires? And what trainings are realistic, good for the job, good for performance, the ones that make good leaders, good employees, versus the ones, you know, the wish list? That's what we've done. Departments, you know, they turn in what I would consider more of a wishy need list, right? So they have a lot of wishes on there. I mean, we go through that and say, look, what is a wish versus a need? And then the wishes we bring, have them come up and explain those wishes to you guys in Commissioner's Court budget workshops. And so what you see here is really what it takes to run the business operations of the county day to day. There's no, I believe there, you know, there's not fluff in this budget. I think that there is a lot of hard work that goes into these departments. These departments worked a lot of hours also on submitting their budgets. So I do believe that it is one of the best budgets that I've done in my years of working, which I know is not much, it's 8 years, but yeah. It's still, I do believe it is a really, really good budget. And if I didn't feel, I work for 590,000 citizens, right? Of course I work for you five. I want to make sure those 590,000 people have a good feeling about that budget, that we're spending their money wisely. And I do believe that this budget that I provided today does that.
Good job.
I think you've done a great job. And quite frankly, I don't know how we're going to get by without personnel for some of the law enforcement officers and agencies. So that's going to be a challenge when next 2 weeks comes up. But I think you've done a great job with the budget.
Thank you.
Would you say the increase in appraisals was this year, Tammy? In the appraisal, when you certify it.
It's this one right here.
As we go over this, obviously, we'll ask questions, but just in some preliminary information.
As far as the values themselves, right now, looking at the market values, we have an 8.24% increase in market. Of course, now, market is not what we determine budget off of. That is taxable. And taxable, we currently have 7.5% increase in the taxable value. And that number will continue to go down between now and certification, because the appraisal district is still hearing all of the protest.
Right.
And they have to have 95% settled, or 95% certified, I should say, before they can certify on July 25th. And they always do that.
Okay. And the romance of this whole deal for all of us is we have time to work on this, correct? Even though we're running out quick. But I would concur myself with Commissioner Nowak. I think there's still opportunity here that we've got to look at. And I'm hoping that as we move forward, we'll be able to do that. Any other comments, gentlemen?
Thank you.
Thank you for a great job and your presentation and all the work you've done. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
All right. Brett Ligon, District Attorney, come talk to us. HB 1325.
What about 12B, Judge?
I'm sorry, did I miss it?
No,
they deferred it.
Oh, no, it was deferred. I'm sorry. Huh? It was deferred. Yeah. Amanda deferred it when she got up.
Thank you. Hot off the presses, huh?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I included in your packet of materials of 1325, the hemp bill, as well as a memo written by our office in regards to prosecution of marijuana, some trial stats, a few other things that I think the court may find relevant in its discussion going forward. But briefly, I would like to pivot or to echo the work that Amanda has done. She wields a sharp pen and a pencil. I will tell you, and I heard her use words that just made me cringe. She said wish list, as opposed to wants. So, for example, one of the positions that we've asked for is somebody who, as a designated investigator, will just investigate infant fatalities, the dead baby squad. It's horrible that we'd even have to have one, but that's something that Amanda calls part of my wish list. So I don't mean it in a bad way. However, it's just one of those deals to where when we started taking over the state of Texas, started taking over the CPS, load and started reviewing the cases that were falling between the cracks. So you're talking about enhanced investigations versus a typical homicide or typical murder with a gunshot wound to the head or domestic violence, those types of deals. And so she wields an incredibly sharp pencil, and I heard some murmuring in the crowd because of her use of wish list. For me, it's not a wish list. For most people, it wouldn't be a wish list, but I understand her reasoning as to why a necessity as opposed to an enhanced type of investigation. But she uses words sometimes that may not have the meaning that the public ascribes to them. We're not sitting around wishing for a ton of money and for a ton of cops and for a ton of investigators. We just want to be able to do the job in a in an enhanced manner. And we're dealing with child fatalities or infant fatalities. It is an expertise unto itself.
Amanda, so, would you like to withdraw your comment?
No, I'm bragging on her, but I'm also letting you know, I mean, she's trying to cut us to the core, which is part of her job. But sometimes use the language itself.
Yeah, Brett and I had the discussion that, you know, if there was, you know, money falling, you know, I have to have a budget at a set amount, right? We know what the preliminary values are. I have to set a budget within the preliminary values. There are positions, law enforcement for sure. I told you there's over 70 positions that that were asked.
I'm taking up for you, believe it or not. I know
what you're saying.
A lot of those are law enforcement. So when we come to work, you know, budget workshops, if there's any wiggle room between certified and preliminary, you know, there are quite a few law enforcement positions that the budget office does recommend, including Brett's child investigator.
Thank you. If we could move on to topic at hand, please.
Consider and discuss House Bill 1325. 1325 is the hemp bill. Now, I have also copies of this packet for the general public if they would like to look at it. The hemp bill is a farm bill. That's what it is. It is not a law enforcement bill. It was not written for law enforcement, and people turned their eyes off of the hemp bill when the hemp bill was passed. Now, there was testimony by DPS when they went to the legislative hearing that would there be an impact on marijuana. And so what the hemp bill did was take what was otherwise marijuana, and then they classified it, and they said, all right, if it has more than 0.3% of THC, it's marijuana. If it has less than 0.3% THC, it's hemp. Hemp now is lawful. As of June 9th and before that, hemp would have been classified as marijuana. Now, goat weed marijuana,
You smoke hemp if it's under 0.03?
So here's what the act also says, and this is why I don't understand why a lot of DA's offices across the state have abdicated their responsibility. The hemp bill specifically talks to consumables and non-consumables. And in both the consumables and the non-consumables, it says it can't be packaged and created and sold for smoking. So there is no smokable hemp that makes it lawful, right? So what first thing I want the general public to know is, number one, Montgomery County is not overrun with the scourge of marijuana cases. We're no different than any other communities. That was the first thing I wanted people to know. One of the things that you and I talk about, when I talk about raw numbers, perhaps sometimes they're not in context. So to put it in context, we did 508 possession of marijuana cases all of last year. That's all the cases that law enforcement, DPS, SO, CPD, and then 24 other municipalities would have brought to us. Out of a total 16,000 cases, 508 out of 16,000. Montgomery County is a great county to live in. We're not overrun with marijuana. With that said, we continue to dispose of marijuana cases in the way that I would think that the court wants me to. 93% of the jail still is felons, felonies pending, and felonies that are sentenced and awaiting transport to TDC. 7% of the Montgomery County jail population are misdemeanors. The vast majority of these cases are misdemeanor cases. So I've also included there our trial stats. I need the court and I need the general public to know we continue to focus on violent crime. That's what we focus on. Violent crime, habituals, murders, sexual assaults, aggravated sexual assaults, intoxicated manslaughters. We dispose of marijuana cases. We will try a few of them. But in a given year, out of the number of cases we try, is fairly small. So I don't believe we have a disproportionate response to marijuana, but we're also not looking the other way. I can't say the same thing for the state legislature. What they have now foisted upon this court is another unfunded mandate. The reason is because THC, prior to June the 9th, there were a simplified testing. Whether it had THC, tetrahydrocannabinol, in there or not was simply an affirmation test. If it had THC in there, it was marijuana. Now we have to quantify it. But we only have to quantify it, the percentage, because we have to prove at trial, but not at arrest. I do not know why the other jurisdictions have said they won't arrest on probable cause on marijuana. The hemp bill itself, and I've highlighted portions, specifically talks about probable cause when an officer has it. It's supposed to be manufactured package. It's supposed to be a bill of lading or a manifest cargo or an invoice with it. So basically, if a cop runs across marijuana and it's in a dime bag or a nickel bag, that's still probable cause.
They're not making clothes with it.
Right. They're not. It's not a consumable or a non-consumable that's an edible. It's a smokable. In that form, we continue to take charges.
I thought you could eat it, too.
You can eat it. That would be a consumable, as long as you don't smoke it. And don't ask me about CBD oils,
Brett, the law has to do with hemp.
The law has to do with hemp. The testing of it, it's just a farm bill. It's not a criminal bill.
Have you ever stopped anybody that had hemp?
We actually sent an investigator out to purchase what we believed would be out there and available. He was in full uniform, and they gave him a 20% discount for a law enforcement discount.
That's great.
And we bought so much of it for all the different products, he scored so many points, he'll get an extra 10% off on his next visit. That is a true story.
Did they give senior citizens?
Evidently, it's very profitable. As most of y'all know who followed the legislative session this term, there were a lot of bills to decriminalize marijuana. They did not pass. But there appears to be an abdication at the state level. We have continued to ask, what is the state going to do about this? Are y'all going to pay for the enhanced testing? Because the DPS labs do not test for quantification. They don't do it. There is a private lab. I've included that information for y'all as well. Now, if I was required to do all these, it'd be a little around $50,000 for the entire year. What I'm asking the court to create is a pass-through account. We will continue to arrest for possession of marijuana. We will continue to prosecute for possession of marijuana. Those people who tell us, hey, it's hemp, we're going to test it at the private lab at $90 a pop plus $100 for the certification. When it comes back to be marijuana, as the likelihood that it is, we're going to pass that cost along through the court system, either through probation, restitution, those types of deals. So the court will recover, the county will recover its money, but there has to be a fund on the front end. So I need a pass-through account. What I'm asking for is I'll take $10,000 out of forfeiture if the court would match me at $10,000. You can't mix non-forfeiture dollars with forfeiture dollars. That money can never come back to me. But I need some vehicle to send off for testing. I've also included the contract. Dr. Kerrigan with Sam Houston Forensic Center is reviewing the contract. The Sheriff's Department is reviewing it and other members of law enforcement to make sure we've got a legit lab that will do this.
$50,000 would be if every case had to be
tested. If every case had to be tested. And they don't, no.
And so, but what, this is a dangerous question to ask, but is the juice worth the squeeze? I mean, 0.03. I don't know how much THC is in marijuana versus in hemp.
Well,
if I may.
So hold on one second. I just want to finish real quick.
Go ahead.
So, is it I mean, how many people are going to say, no, man, this is a little bag of hemp? And, I mean,
you'd
isn't hemp like, I mean, hemp's a, you're making clothes, you're making rope, you're making something.
That's the non-consumable.
Hemp.
Hemp is clothing, so, jewelry, ropage, cordage.
So there's consumable stuff. Hemp that you
in
eat.
The bill itself, and I assure you, if you all read this bill, you would outnumber every legislature who read this bill. People don't read this bill. DA's offices across the state that announced their policies had not read the bill. The bill is not a sea change in prosecution of marijuana cases.
Well, I'm old-fashioned. I still think that's a gateway drug. I'd still am for you right. prosecuting it, and I'll pay the $10,000 out of my budget if I have to, if the rest
Thank
of the court
you.
Doesn't.
What do you need from us, Britt?
Let's
I'm
do
asking
it.
For the court to create a pass-through account to where that when we do test it at those issues, that we can pass that that's testing awesome. Cost along. We have to pay for it up front.
I move
There'll
that
be a restitution issue from the individual defendant back to the county.
The marijuana law,
Amanda, would we put
$10,000 out
of money into Brett's account and then let it be washed out and we'll take the revenue?
Right. So what I recommend to do is really pull money from contingency for this. This is a perfect contingency item. And then the revenue that we recognize will end up going to miscellaneous revenue and collecting it from that side. I did speak to Brett about this item. There is, of course, there's going to be a lag, right? He's going to test, and then the defendant may not pay, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 6 months, who knows?
Okay.
That's kind of why we do need to front load the money, is because, we can't wait for the defendant to pay.
And I'll front load the first 10. We may never get to the county's money if by the time the case is worked out.
Well, you need to pass a motion to do that?
Yes, sir, to create the account for
contingency.
Oh, second.
Good.
Just concerning some discussion, just real fast.
Yes, sir.
Because I'm with y'all. You know, in the House, in the last two sessions, there have been, and in this session, been a number of bills wanting to move in the direction of legalizing for recreational use. And the lobbyists will approach you at three different levels. It always starts with medical marijuana. It goes to then decriminalization, and then it goes from there to recreational. And this is a new twist on this deal.
Yes.
When you think about hemp being part of this deal, and they've made another step in that direction. May we applaud you for picking up on this and continuing to stand against something that is affecting all of our kids. I also went to my last committee hearing. I listened to Hank Whitman, and I have it on a tape. Hank Whitman saying that in the CPS issues, he was the commissioner having to do with all CPS issues. And when he said it, I contacted my office, and I said, make sure you can find that. And he said that marijuana was the starting point and was at the heart of all of these CPS issues. He said that, the commissioner, who is the ex-director of Texas Rangers. So you're right on the money here. I appreciate it so much.
The medical field is against it due to increased depression rates, increased suicide rates, and increased psychosis. There are a ton of papers out there that talk that Colorado is actually at a zero in regards to the taxes they created versus the debt that was created through hospitalization, law enforcement issues, those types of deals. It's been more of a catastrophe in Colorado. But I need the public to hear this. Anything that leads to additional impairment on the streets of Montgomery County is my concern.
I agree.
I don't want to be the old guy who's going, hey, you kids, get off my lawn.
Right.
This is not the dope of the 60s. This stuff is bred for increased THC. We're talking about marijuana that hits harder than previously did, synthetic cannabinoids as well. So I am not. We're not using a disproportionate response from the DA's office. However, I do have concerns. If you add additional impairing substances to the roadways of Montgomery County, obviously you increase the fatalities. And my response to every legislature who asked me was, the first time you're willing to look at the general public and say, you're okay with more people dying on Texas roadways, say that first and then tell me about the business interests of it. But nobody will tell you what the reality is. Hey, people die. Half the fatalities in Montgomery County are drug and alcohol related. Half the murders are drug and alcohol related. I have personally never been to a homicide scene where somebody wasn't higher than a giraffe's butt. So
all right.
I'll finish there.
Thank you. Appreciate it so much.
Hey, Brett, real quick before
Brett,
you go.
We have a motion on the table. We have a motion on the table. If we can vote and then go ahead.
Well, let's vote.
Was it discussion?
Yeah, no, I'll have to. We'll vote.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion and for it to come out of contingency.
Yep, that was
got
an option.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right, so your numbers here, you and your staff should be really proud of the hard work that y'all go through.
You can see it's all violent crimes, habituals. We're taking the people that are, that have big impacts in our community, we're putting them in prison for a long period of time.
I mean, 60 trials and to have only 6 not guilty out of that, I mean, that's great. That's an A for sure.
Appreciate it.
And then look at, you know, Phil Grant, the number of trials he's had, and Judge Mychalk, the number of cases she's disposed of, and all the other judges that are working hard. If I didn't call your name, don't call me out later, but they're all working hard. It's great, and we thank y'all for what you do, and law enforcement for
Absolutely.
Bringing thank the you. Bad guys to you. To be
and if anybody needs these materials, I have them available. There's no hidden numbers here. All right.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it so much. All right. Let's move on to 14A, County Auditor.
Morning, Judge. Morning, Commissioners.
Morning.
Item 14A, consider and approve payment of accounts.
Okay. Do we have a motion to approve?
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Rakesh. Purchasing. Gilbert.
Morning.
Good morning.
Our first item is to take all appropriate action to approve awarding Project 1918. This is preventive maintenance on standby generators. The name of the vendor that we want to award is Total Energy Solutions, and we spend roughly $76,000 a year for this service for all the generators in the county.
Is this a new vendor?
No, sir, it's current.
Okay. Second. Never move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item B, consider and approve the sale of light bars.
Yes, sir, for Cut and Shoot Police Department. We don't sell light bars because nobody wants to buy light bars, and they need light bars, and we can only sell it to them, so the dollar transaction, if this court approves that, for 2 light bars to Cut and Shoot Police Department.
Okay. A dollar a piece or for each one?
Dollar total.
That's a bargain.
It's
Sheriff, what are you going to do with that dollar?
All right.
Move.
All in favor? A second. We have a second. All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Approved changes
to the purchasing manual. Yes, sir. We have some grants specifically right now with Precinct 4. We have the Allendale and River Oaks projects. We met with the General Land Office yesterday, went over all of the requirements for federal funding. One of the things that we need to do is include the code for the CFR 200, the code for federal regulations, in our purchasing manual, and that's what this is. The county attorney has reviewed that.
Okay, so that's all that the county attorney has looked at,
right,
and approved all of the changes.
Right, and basically we're just taking the federal regulations and throwing them into our manual.
Okay.
So, and they've reviewed those regulations. We're cool. And this is what we have to follow if we want federal funding.
All right.
So.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, Gilbert. Motion carries. All right. Grants. Good morning.
Good morning, Judge. Good morning. Commissioners.
Good morning.
Please consider and approve the fiscal year 2020 Crime Victim Coordinator Assistant Coordinator grant application to Office of Victim of Crime in the amount of $235,841 for the Sheriff's Office. No match is required, and this is a 3-year grant. Please authorize Rebecca Ansley to submit the grant electronically on behalf of Montgomery County.
Move. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rebecca. Awesome. All right. We're going to recess right now for convene a public hearing. Number 17 on your agenda. And start with Precinct 1. BD?
Consider cancellation of a portion of Lone Star Parkway, Section 1, a subdivision in Montgomery County, filed with Carwell Family Partners, LP. Is anybody here to talk about that? The owners have not produced a signed petition for approval. The purpose of the cancellation is to convert platted property back to acreage. And the second one would be Section 2 of that same subdivision. Is anybody here?
Okay.
And ready to move on? Consider the partial revision of Reserve B Summer Place replat lots 23, 24, 25 of R7 Block 1 Harbor Point and Lot 1 Block 2 of Harbor Point, partial replat A to be known as Old River Road Storage. Is anyone here to speak about that? The purpose of this partial replat is to combine previously unplatted property and replat other property into a single restricted commercial reserve. The plat is ready for approval under the engineering item on the next, after we recess our public hearings.
All right. So we're going to reconvene. So would you? Is there motions that we need to formulate on this?
Right. So we need to consider and approve the final plat for Old River Road Storage.
Move. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right. Let's move on to our county engineer.
That was
it. I'm sorry.
Judge, are there any of
yes.
these under executive session that we can do publicly, like maybe the fire marshal, since we did the county engineer publicly? Can that or any of these other ones, Amy, can be taken?
That'd be a,
so the consultation with the attorney would need to be done in closed session.
Okay.
We're talking about specific liability to the county and giving you
right.
advice. It's not really.
So just see what we could do here. Is anybody opposed?
I don't.
Same. It's the fire marshal's group has asked if they could, or for some time the fire marshal has been very patient with a request to have standardization that the DA sought with the constables. It's just bringing parity to him and his people and taking their cars, putting them in a county vehicle, and he's paying for it out of his own budget. So
we would have to recognize a little bit of revenue, you know, on that, because previously last year the fire marshal, they have a revenue budget from the inspection fees that they do. They were $300,000. They collected $300,000 more last year. We don't know if it's going to hit that much, but we right now, with the changes that the HR budget office and the vehicles want to make, it's $159,034.54 for three vehicles, equipment for those vehicles, and then the increase in pay, $159,000.
Amy, do we need a motion to move this out of executive session into open?
Not unless there's someone who wants to oppose it.
Okay, we're good. Are you good?
And
go ahead.
That's fine. Just a little update. We talked about revenue. We're currently at $876,000. We've taken in, last year was over $1 million, so we're looking at probably 1.2 this year. So we're well over expectations there. So we do have sufficient funding to cover it.
Yep, and like the constables,
yeah.
he will end up, you know, the constables collectively returned $500,000 or more to the court, and Jimmy's department will do the same thing with the cost of the vehicles being less over time. So
talking,
I move.
We're talking three vehicles, three employees?
So it's,
good.
It's the assistant fire, the two assistant fire marshal for inspections and investigations, and then Jimmy himself.
Okay. Right.
If we don't bring up Jimmy, then unfortunately, he's left behind.
No.
So,
to include Jimmy.
This came all of our field personnel. We started moving in 2014 or 15 very early. We started moving our field personnel over. So all of our non-exempt or in-county vehicles, they're in the step pay. And this is kind of the last action of the step pay plan. They're in that plan now. Our two exempt positions, our assistant fire marshals, one runs our investigation division, the bomb squad. The other one is responsible for, again, $1.2 million revenue and 80 plus million square feet of new construction since we adopted a fire code.
Wow. How many?
So,
how many, what was that again?
80 plus, we're over 80 million square feet of new construction
mm-hmm.
that we've reviewed and overseen through our inspections division.
Great.
Mm-hmm. We've had some hiccups along the way, but nothing we haven't been able to resolve. And had to even come before you guys to resolve. We've been able to take care of it. So they've done an outstanding job. These are our last three positions that are still under a vehicle stipend.
Okay.
So this gets everybody pretty well on the same
scales.
Right. So basically what it does is it puts the assistant fire marshals in line with the chiefs at the constable's office. It puts
Jimmy
in line with the constable himself.
Okay.
I think it's great. And Jimmy didn't.
All right.
Jimmy wasn't even going to bring this until the budget hearings, and I thought that we've done it for everybody else. Department does such a good job. They're out there taking care of business and
making money.
I think it's the first time we've seen you all year, so that's great.
Amanda?
And with this movement, we're working on with the county attorney's office on one of theirs, this budget cycle, that will have, starting in FY 2020, we will have zero people within law enforcement on vehicle salary allowance.
Excellent.
6 years in the making.
Okay. There you go.
Good.
Move.
All right. Second. To include Jimmy. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
All right. With that in mind, we're going to move to executive session.
Perfect.
Recording and recess for executive session pursuant to one or more of the following provisions of the Texas Government Code, to wit, Chapter 551, Subchapter D, Articles 551.071, 551.076, and 551.074. All right. Thank you. Let's reconvene. We're going to take action on matters in executive session. The first being item E is a matter to approve consultation with attorney regarding claim A17005. Do I have a motion to that effect?
Approve the resolution and order.
Have a second? Okay. We have a motion. Is there a second? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Looking to F, item F, consider and discuss potential litigation regarding Orphan Care Solutions and related matters. We have a motion to direct the county attorney to pursue civil remedies against Orphan Care Solutions and all potentially responsible parties, and authorize the county attorney to incur necessary expenses. Contingency is the funding source. Do I have a motion to that effect?
Move.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Now, if you recall, we deferred item 11A, which was to consider, discuss, and take appropriate action on the appointment or appointments of various members of the Child Welfare Board. And so we have a motion here to, Amy, can you form it? Here it is right here. We have a motion to appoint four individuals: Sue Watkins, Kyle Lackey, Elizabeth Chappelle, and Matt Burton to the Child Welfare Board. Do I have a motion to that effect? Is there a second? Okay, is there any discussion?
No, I think it's the minimum number that we can.
Yes.
If I'm on the minimum.
I wanted to make sure that the court understood that the Child Welfare Board comprises of 7 to 15, but there are all the members of the Child Welfare Board have resigned as of now, the previous members, and therefore the appointing four people today will allow for a quorum of the minimum number to do and to take some fairly immediate action that needs to be taken to protect some of the children, to fund something for the children, CPS custody and the like. So that's why you're taking this action today.
Correct.
And just doing four. The total number of the board will be 7 to 15, and I believe
this gives us a quorum.
Gives you a quorum, and at a later court, you will reconstitute the entire board of it, and it will be at least seven members.
All right. Thank you. Is there any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much. Now, as we are coming to a close, are there any citizens who would like to wish to speak on something that is not necessarily on today's agenda, but would like to speak? Yes. Please state your name and your purpose, please.
Morning, Judge, Commissioners. Steve Lakey. I'm in resident of Precinct 2. Did want to give you a quick update on our vote centers project. Long conversation yesterday with Susie Harvey. She and her team are working through a number of questions, issues, situations, et cetera. She indicated that she would be visiting with the Harris County resources this week to gain input from them. I did want to tell you that we've received very, very positive reaction to the article that was in Impact News about the benefits of vote centers. People have been very, very supportive, and I believe I have some colleagues here from various entities who may make a comment or two also, but we're getting very good public response on the whole project.
Right.
We'll keep you posted.
All right. Thanks, sir. Appreciate it, Steve. All right. Is there anyone else? Yes. State your name for the record, please, and your purpose. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Glenna Sloan, and I live in Shenandoah, and I am in Mr. Riley's precinct. And I'm here to, and I'm so sorry, I know y'all have heard a lot about these voting centers, but I wanted to just put my 2 cents worth in and encourage you to implement these voting centers. There was an article in the Fort Worth Telegram yesterday in regard to these voting centers. In the article, it talks about the increase in voter participation, which as a VDR, if you see these yellow shirts here, these ladies are VDRs, very active voter deputy registrars, and it increases voter participation. As I think, if you've been in politics, I know all of you have, that Texas is neither a red state or a blue state. It's a non-voting state, and we'd like to see that change. We want everyone to participate who is able to participate. And one more thing I would like to do is praise Caesar rather than bury him. I have had opportunity to work with the folks at Election Central, and I cannot say enough about their professionalism. They are a hardworking group of people, and I don't know if anybody ever compliments them because they're over in a building doing their thing quietly. And if you've never been over there, if you've never watched them in action, I strongly encourage you to go there and spend a couple of hours with Susie and her staff. You will be amazed at the work that they do. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your comments. Appreciate it so much. All right. Yes.
I can't.
If you state your name and purpose.
Hi, I hope my voice works. I'm sorry about that. It's a medical condition. I am Marcella Rhodes. I have lived in Montgomery County for 18 years this month. I was born a Texan, and I have lived in Texas most of my life. I reside in Commissioner Nowak's precinct, Precinct 3, but I live right next door to the line for Commissioner Precinct 2. I live in Precinct 3, but I do a lot of my business. I do a lot of my shopping, eating, restaurant businesses, retail over in Precinct 2. So I am here to talk about the voting centers and say that I would like to have them because I think that would make it a little bit easier. I've also been a longtime election worker. Usually I work for the county, and I would like to echo what Glenna has said, that they do a great job, and I really appreciate working with them. But I would like to have the voting centers. I think that it would really help people to be able to vote. In the last election, I worked the election, and at 8 minutes till it was 7 o'clock, someone came in to vote, found they were in the wrong precinct, and had to go to another precinct. It was a very close call on whether they would be able to make it to the other precinct. If they stay there, we have to give them a provisional ballot that may not vote, may not work, and may not, you know, accurately reflect their vote. Or they may just decide not to go to the other election place. So I think this would help get rid of a lot of confusion with people. I know I worked another election where we had many, many people come in and thought that we were suppressing their vote when we tell them, no, I'm sorry, you have to go vote in your precinct. So I think this would help our voters a lot. I do understand that there are hoops that need to be jumped through, and we need to make sure that we've got all that and we protect everyone in our county to vote. But I hope that we can get those done, and maybe we can try and get this done for the November election so that we can test it out and see at that point. I know that we already have the capability to see which precincts need more voting machines and everything like that. That's already been done for quite some time. But this way we would have a smaller election in November for people to see where all the voters converge, you know, and start planning out for bigger elections that will come up in the future. So I ask that you please consider it and perhaps put it on the July 30th agenda so that we can, I know that y'all have to have a public hearing and have 72 hours notice before that hearing, and I think you probably would want to do that not at Commissioner's Court, but I don't know how that works. Anyway, but I do know that that's one of the things that is required for the Secretary of State to do the application, and that application is due on August 23rd. If you want to do it for this November election. So I urge you to do that. I've talked to a lot of people in other counties, and they liked it. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments, Marcella. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
Are there any other yes, if you'd state your name for the record and your purpose.
Hi, my name is Carrie Daly, and I am a parent of two children in elementary school in the Woodlands. I'm in Precinct 3. I'm happy to hear that countywide voting centers are possibly being considered for Montgomery County, as many voters are confused about their Election Day polling place, which often differs from their early voting locations. I also hope that if voters will be allowed to vote at any polling location this November, that it would allow schools to opt out as polling places. Many of us are concerned about the safety of children at school and don't feel comfortable with the public easily entering the campus while school is in session. Voting machines are steps away from the classroom hallways, and we often have one police officer there, but it's still a major safety risk. Our school foyer is listed on the county website as a polling place. However, voters don't enter through the newly secured foyer. We have a new glass partition up where the receptionist can vet people, but rather through the side door, and those people are only vetted with IDs by polling volunteers once inside the building. The polling is not conducted in the foyer, but instead in a hallway outside the administrator's offices, which is actually steps away from the first hallway of children. Some of us who have called the election board have been told that our safety concerns are unfounded and that the tragedies in other schools are just stories in the media. We've also been told that the election board chooses not to use private buildings or churches on election day, as they can back out of the agreement. But public schools filled with young children can't. Community centers, libraries, churches, and private buildings should be considered for use as polling centers over our schools. I hope that you will consider countywide voting centers for the upcoming election and also allow schools to opt out as polling places to ensure the safety of our kids. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming.
Thank you.
Are there any other comments? There are none, then the Commissioner of Court's coming to a close. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Move we adjourn.
Second. All in favor? Motion carries. Thank you all very much, and have a great day.
Yeah.